A Winter Affair by Minna Howard and read by Gilly Bond for Saga Egmont. In affectionate memory of Maurice Gard, who taught us to ski and love and respect the mountains. Chapter 1. Eloise had written 3 Christmas cards before she realised her mistake, but old habits die hard. Love from Eloise, Harvey and the twins. But Harvey wasn't here, and would not be coming back. She tore up the cards and threw them into the bin and then gave up on the whole idea. She would not be sending cards this year. She sat at her desk in the still unfamiliar room of her new home in Wimbledon, struggling to repress the ache in her heart. Through the window, she saw the driver of the supermarket delivery van wheeling cases of wine and boxes of goodies to number 27, ready for the Christmas celebrations. She better go and buy her turkey breast, pudding for one, and wine and chocolate to eat while she immersed herself in box sets, she thought wryly. This year she'd be home alone for Christmas, for the first time in her 43 years. The telephone rang, cutting through her thoughts. It could be the twins calling from Tibet. She answered it, full of hope. Her spirits fell a little when she realised it was not them, but Desmond Maynard, her godfather, calling from his sunny home in Antigua.
"What are you doing for Christmas, my dear?"
His voice boomed from across the world. She'd told him all about her divorce. Perhaps he was going to ask her to stay with him for Christmas. Her heart rose as she pictured warm beaches and soft seas. She hadn't seen Desmond, her father's best friend, for a couple of years. He was good company, and she'd always been fond of him. Knowing him, he'd even offer to pay for her ticket, which he could well afford, so she wouldn't feel bad about accepting. Now he was alone without Maddie, his beloved partner. He probably yearned for company at this emotional time of the year. She'd be happy to read to him, go on walks in the lush countryside and swim in the sea with him. So maybe her Christmas wouldn't be so bad this year after all. "I haven't decided yet, Desmond. The twins are in Tibet. I'm going to catch up with them in the summer when I visit my parents in New Zealand, and..." She was about to accept the invitation he had not yet given, when he interrupted.
"Good. There's trouble at the chalet. Lawrence is tearing his hair out. He's had to sack 2 already, and he has a big Christmas party for very important clients, and he's at his wit's end and doesn't know what to do."
"Sack who? And what's it to do with me?" Eloise was puzzled. Desmond had inherited an ancient chalet in Switzerland from his parents years ago and had given it to his son Lawrence, who was mad about skiing and mountains, and now ran it as an expensive holiday let.
"A chef!"
Desmond almost shouted, as if her ears were defective.
"The one he had left unexpectedly. In a private plane with one of the guests. I warned Lawrence not to employ any attractive women, but he wouldn't listen. But I was right and he was wrong. She made a beeline for some rich tycoon and ran off with him, leaving poor Lawrence in the lurch at this crucial time."
"I'm sorry, but..." Eloise began, but Desmond went on, his voice getting louder and more strident.
"And the last 2 chefs that arrived couldn't cook an egg, but you can. You're cordon bleu trained and you cook wonderfully and are reliable. Aren't you?"
he demanded. She was shell-shocked. She hadn't seen Lawrence for years, and hadn't much liked him then. Had Desmond told him she would cook for a chalet full of people without even asking her first, and assured him that she was not attractive enough to lure away any passing zillionaires? It was years since she'd done the cordon bleu course, and it was only a foundation one, which in no way qualified her as a chef. She tried to explain this to Desmond, but he stopped her mid-flow, his voice calm, as if he was soothing a wild animal.
"My dear, I've no doubt you've been through a terrible time with your no-good husband, but you need to keep your wits about you, not waste away picking over every painful detail. Lawrence is frantic. He needs a chef at Jacaranda from now until early January. And you've just said you're free, and..."